Well, we're continuing to talk about fear. We've been talking about for the last several weeks about fear, what it means to fear, what the Bible has to say about fear. We've talked about some people in Scripture who overcame their fears, and we're going to continue to talk more about fear today. Our Scripture comes to us from the 27th Psalm. So if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to read verses 11 through 14. So if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen as we read from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing that I seek the most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. For He will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in His sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of His holy word. And let us pray together. We thank You, O God, for the opportunity once again we have to gather together as a community of faith. We thank You for the opportunity that we've had to be in worship today. We thank You for the way that Your Holy Spirit has moved in this gathering thus far. And we pray that Your Spirit would continue to move among us. Lord, I ask that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be Your words. And Lord, we humbly ask, as always, that You would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear Lord, open our hearts, that the words that You have for us today might be more for us than just more information. Lord, we have plenty of information available to us. But Lord, what we pray for today is that Your words would penetrate deeply within us and that they would transform us. Because, Lord, we know that we need transformation. All this we ask, not because of who we are, but because of our faith and our trust in Jesus. And it is in the name of Jesus that we pray together this morning, saying, Amen. You know, a couple of weeks ago on Facebook, somebody posted this picture. And in the picture, it said that in the Bible, 365 times can you read these words, be not afraid, be not afraid. One for each and every day of the year. Well, partly because I'm cynical and partly because this is what they trained us to do in seminary, you know what I had to do? I had to go start looking them up because I thought, well, that's a nice coincidence. But, you know, I started to ask all these questions. What translation were they looking at? You know, did it really say, be not afraid, don't be afraid? Was there something else? Well, I hate to burst your bubble, and I hope that none of you in here have posted that, emailed it, sent it to your friends. But by any translation that I've looked at, by any of the studies that I've done, that is in itself incorrect. There are either more than 365 or less than 365, depending on how you do your counting. But the sentiment of what was posted, I get. Because we do seem to hear a lot in Scripture don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We do hear that phrase a lot. And I hope that you heard that this morning as I read to you Psalm 27, because indeed it's part of what this psalm is about. The very first verse, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid?" The Hebrew word here is al-tereh. Al-tereh means don't be afraid, be not afraid, don't be scared. And it's interesting to me that this verse occurs over and over and over again in Scripture, because maybe it occurs because we are so fearful. We are so afraid. Maybe God knew that there were going to be so many things that made us fearful that we would need reminders. Not just one or two or 365 or less or more, depending on the translation. But God knew that we needed to understand, the Lord is my light and salvation. Why should I be afraid? Why should I tremble? Why should I be fearful? You know, as I was thinking about this week, I was thinking about what really is the opposite of fear. What's the opposite of fear? And the natural opposite of fear, we might think that would be courage. Courage would be the opposite of fear. But I don't know about you, but I have been, I think, a few times in my life courageous. And just because I was courageous, just because I showed some courage, did not mean that I still didn't have fear. Amen? Didn't mean that the fear was gone away. Some people continue to laugh as I express this, and they think this is pretty funny, but it is true. Every Sunday morning when I wake up, as soon as my eyes open, I think, oh no, I've got to go speak for God again today. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? Is it going to be okay? Is it going to work? And people say, man, you've been doing this for 19, almost 20 years on a weekly basis, time and time again. You know, why would you still be afraid of that? Well, I'm telling you, when you have to speak for God, you better have a little fear in you. Otherwise, you might not be speaking for God. Amen? You might. And the worst times I've ever had standing before people and preaching were those times where I thought, I got this one. I got this one. I know it, because you know what happens? You start to depend on yourself and you stop depending on God. You start to depend on yourself and you stop depending on God. And I think that perhaps as we think about what might be the opposite of fear, for me, what the opposite of fear is faith. It's faith. It's not courage. Courage causes us to do things in spite of fear. Courage is why I'm standing before you this morning. It's courage. It's not lack of fear, lack of anxiety. It's courage. But really the opposite of fear is faith. It's faith that God will be with you. It's faith that no matter what, you don't have to be afraid, because you know that God is with you. The psalmist gets into this a little bit. He talks about the Lord being his fortress. He talks about not being afraid, but it's interesting to me in verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek most. Notice that if courage were the opposite of fear, he would have said, I need courage. But this is not what he says. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing that I seek the most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in God's temple. That's interesting to me. That's interesting to me. He doesn't say, give me courage to face the future unafraid. Fill me, Lord, with what I need so I can be self-sufficient. What the psalmist says is, the one thing that I need is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections, meditating in God's temple. For God will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. This is interesting to me, brothers and sisters. It really is, because the psalmist is not asking for some sort of courage, some sort of inner strength, what I think the psalmist is asking is that he can stay close to the Lord all the days of his life. You see, it's not something within him. It's this relationship with the Lord that he seeks. He wants to stay close to God. And he recognizes that the closer he stays to God, the further away he's going to be from his fear. Amen? It's his faith. It's his ability to stay close to God that's important here. It's fascinating. One thing that I ask, one thing that I seek, not that I be fearless, not that I find it within me to overcome my fears. Lord, the one thing I seek, he says, is to be with you. Is to stay close to you. Is to be with you my entire life. Because I know if I can do that when troubles come, then you're going to take me to the sanctuary. He's not talking about a sanctuary of worship. He's talking about the sanctuary of God's heart. He's talking about being so close to God that it doesn't matter what's going on around, because my relationship with God is so tight, is so close, is so much with him that it doesn't matter what's going on around me. I've ceased to worry. I've ceased to fear about that because I know that God is with me and that no matter what, that God is going to stay with me. The Native Americans had a ritual. When a boy would turn 13, when it would come time for the boy to become a man in the tribe, often what they would do is they would take the young man out into the woods and he would have to spend the night alone with no weapons, with nothing but himself. And can't you imagine how difficult that would have been to do that? I mean, even now, it kind of makes me fearful just thinking about it, because every twig, every snap, everything, every noise would be magnified if you were by yourself in those woods. And often, I'm sure, there was a sleepless night, and they could not wait until the next day when the sun came up, when they could see again. And how surprised were they, each and every one, when it became light, to find out that their own father was only a few feet away from them, watching them, with them in the bush, armed with a bow and arrow, ready to protect them. And they didn't even know it. And you know, sometimes I think that we go through our own existence and we don't recognize how much God is really with us. We always talk about at Advent, Jesus' name Emmanuel, which means God is with us, and we forget that. And you see, the greatest antidote to fear, the opposite of fear, is faith. It is growing in the knowledge and love of God, growing in your relationship with God so much that nothing else matters. We can become like the psalmist who says, the one thing that I seek, the one thing that I want is to stay close to God, to be in God's house, to be part of God's family. That's the number one thing that I need. And isn't it true that the closer that you are to God, the less fearful the world becomes? And you know, sometimes when we're the most frightened, it is that we have let that relationship go. We've let that relationship with God lapse. As one person said, when it seems like God has moved, we need to be sure and look around, because it's probably not God, it's probably us. God is probably still there, just as the Native American father was still there after the long night. Now, the hard part about this is that having a relationship with God does not mean that God is going to do everything that we want God to. We've established that already, haven't we? That God is not our personal valet. He is not our servant. So it's interesting, as we get to the end of the psalm, that this is part of what is listed there. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Yet I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. While I am here in the land of the living. But then there's this awful verse, verse 14. Why didn't he stop at verse 13? Wait. Really? Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. You see, I don't know about you brothers and sisters, but what I know is that I need some weight training in my life, and it's not this kind of weight training either that I'm talking about. Are you with me? It's weight training. Because you see, I want God to act. I want God to intervene. I want God to do it when I think the time is right. And often, my prayers, rather than opening myself up to God, rather than my prayer time being a time where I'm trying to connect my heart to the heart of God, I'm giving God a laundry list of things that God needs to do to make my life better. Okay? God, I need you to take care of this. God, I need you to handle this. God, I need you to help me with this. God, I need to do that. And it's not that we shouldn't be honest with God. That's not my point here. My point is, when we expect God to take our marching orders, we have misunderstood the relationship. Amen. We have misunderstood how the relationship works. Because we need to learn how to wait patiently for the Lord. Indeed, we all probably need some weight training. This week, I tried my best to get my hair cut, and I went by the barbers on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, what happened on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday is that I drive by the barbershop and I look in the windows because I want to know how many people are in the chairs in front of me, because I don't like to wait. So Tuesday, it's all kind of people there. I thought, well, I'll try on Thursday. I go by on Thursday, there's all kind of people there. Friday, I go by on Friday, there's all kind of people there. So I thought, I can fix this. They open at 6 o'clock Saturday morning. I'm going to get there at 5:59. I'll be the first person in line. Well, you all know how much I love getting up early anyway, so it wasn't 5:59 when I got to the barbershop. It was more like 6:12. But there's only five people in the seats, okay? There's three barbers, and I'm going, I did it. And then I began to realize, as I sat there, that the five people that were in front of me were all waiting for my barber. Because I kept thinking, well, surely one of these people will go to the other barbers, because you all know why I go to my barber, don't you? Because he does a great job. And I'm trying to keep that on the down low, because I want people to know how great of a job my barber does. But first this guy goes up, so I'm thinking, well, surely the next one's not going to go up. Well, the next guy goes up, and he's got his four-year-old child with him who moves like this while he's in the seat. And, you know, the barber's trying to do the best he can. The guy's trying to hold the kid's head. So I'm thinking, well, surely this is the last one. Well, as soon as he gets out, the guy gets in the chair. And then there was one more. And the long and short of it is that I didn't get in the barber chair until 7:22. It was worth it, but we hate waiting, don't we? We do. So it fascinates me that part of this psalm says, wait patiently for the Lord, be brave and courageous, yet wait patiently for the Lord. Now, the thing that I don't understand about this verse is, why'd you put be brave and courageous? What is brave and courageous about waiting? There's nothing brave and courageous about that unless, brothers and sisters, you're waiting on God. Unless you're waiting on God. Because you see, what we have to acknowledge, if God is God, if God is the creator and we are the created, is that God knows what we don't know. God sees what we don't see. God understands the rhythms of time and space in ways that you and I do not. So sometimes the most brave, the most courageous thing that we can do is to wait on God and to say, Lord, I am perfectly content to wait because I know that your timing, that your action, that your guidance is more important than anything else. So I am content to wait. And again, we can't do that unless we have what? Unless we have faith. You got to have faith to be able to do that. And you got to be walking with the Lord. You got to have a relationship with God. You can't just say, well, okay, it's all well and good, but God, if you don't act, then I'm going to. Have you ever done that before? God, if you don't do something pretty quick, I'm going to. That, brothers and sisters, is a recipe for disaster. Because sometimes what we need to do is wait. We need to continue to do what the psalmist did. The one thing I ask of the Lord, that to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfection. That's about relationship. It's about having a relationship with God. It's understanding that God is not there to be our servant, to be our valet, to be our personal helper, that God wants more than anything else for us to be in relationship with Him. And we understand this most perfectly, don't we, from Jesus Christ and the way that Jesus Christ came down and embodied God. The way that He really was Emmanuel. Because what you will find is when you exercise your faith, when you start to really say, God, I want to be in relationship with you. The one thing that I want more than anything is to be with you, God. That's the one thing I want more than anything else. You'll start to find that you're going to have some courage, some bravery. You're going to find out that the fears are going to lessen in your life. They have to. Because the closer you get to God, the less and less are you going to be bound by whatever it is that you're fearful of, whatever it is. And you might find something like this. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, then who can ever be against us? If God is for us, then who can ever be against us? You see, I don't think you get that. I don't think that verse is going to mean anything to you unless you are doing what the psalmist said and you want God to be number one. You really, really are trying to follow God in your life. And then all of a sudden you'll realize, hey, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Indeed, who can? If God is for us. Because you see, it's all about the relationship. So the opposite of fear is not courage, I think. The opposite of fear is faith. And the objective of faith is for us to have a relationship with God that is so close, that we depend on God so much that we're just like the psalmist. We know that God has our best interest in heart. We know that God will always be there when we need God. We know that God is not going to leave us or forsake us. And even when we don't see God act, you and I, brothers and sisters, can say, we can wait. Ooh, I hate that word. We can wait patiently on the Lord. Because you see, the whole time we're waiting, we're staying close to God. Amen. We're not just waiting. We're not just standing in line. We're not at the barbershop going, who is going to be next? Good grief. Right? We're waiting because we know that what we want more of is more of that relationship with God. We want to be closer to God. And if there's anything that can drive away the fears, the anxieties of our lives, it is this. The closer that we get to God, the closer that we get to God, the more that we will know. We can indeed wait patiently on the Lord, that we can be brave and courageous. We can wait patiently on the Lord because we know the Lord is with us. And it's all about our journey, our faith journey, being willing to do whatever it takes to have that relationship with God, to nurture that relationship, to be close to God and know that God is close to us. It's all about that relationship. It's all about that faith. So, brothers and sisters, Alterad, do not be afraid, the scripture says over and over and over again. For the Lord your God is with you. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And may we ultimately have a heart like the psalmist, where what we want more than anything else is to be closer and closer and closer to God. Because the closer we are to God, the further away we are from fear and anxiety. And the more we can understand that God is with us always, each and every day. And perhaps we'll even learn that we can wait patiently on the Lord. It's all about our relationship with Him. Amen.